And it is saying we are live.
Woohoo!
Friday Night Feels. We made it again. I was just saying to my lovely guest tonight, Amy Sirica, who I'm going to introduce in a quick second. I would just say a prayer, as all of you who know me, I just say the prayer for the internet energies to be good. So I think we're connected. If not, Amy and I are going to have an amazing time, and the rest of you can just catch up later. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm licensed mental health counselor Patrick Manette, and this is Friday Night Feels, and it's actually, I don't even know when it is, it's actually coming up to my 1 year anniversary of starting the show. So a whole year is flown by. So when I started Friday Night Feels, it was really, you know, during the shutdown, and it was initially just a way to connect with people, and it's really become this amazing network of, you know, being able to connect with people from all different walks of life and different specialties. And tonight we're going to continue with that tradition with Amy Sirica, who is a money confidence coach. And she's going to tell us more about her business and everything. But Amy, welcome so much to Friday Night Feels.
I am so excited to be here. So thank you.
Yeah. And we're connecting. So I'm in New York and you're representing Texas, right?
Yep.
Okay, so
different time zones.
Different time zones. So, and Amy is so, you know, amazing, you know, as most of you can probably relate, as a busy working mom, being able to make sure the kids are taken care of. There might be pop-ins, we never know, but it's Friday Night Feels, so it's filter free. So Amy and I met a while ago and we connected, and I actually just wanted to check in. How is everything in Texas? Because you have all had a rough year too. I mean, how are you doing?
Yeah, we are doing really great. Like for ourselves with the snow apocalypse, I know when we were trying to connect then it was like, Okay, we still have power and that's great, but I don't have internet. So like it's really interesting.
I felt so bad.
Very blessed through that.
Well, we were on the phone and I was like, do you need a care package? Like we don't know each other, but we're, you know, it's that human connection of, my gosh, are you okay? Like you just, and then, you know, when you see things on the news, you don't really know. So I remember we were talking and you're like, yeah, we don't really have it. I'm like, are you okay? So I'm glad you were doing. Now, is the state doing better? I mean, the snow did a lot of damage.
That, I had one person that I had seen that like didn't have electricity, didn't have running water. It had been almost a month, but that was kind of the extreme. Okay. Most everybody, like within a week, it had like thawed. So then like pipes that had burst, it was just a matter of getting that taken care of. So there's a joke going around, like the master plumbers around here, like they're gold plated now and all of that, because they had so much work to do.
I can imagine. It was, you know, it was, I would see it on like social media and different things, and it was one of those of, what do you actually do to help, you know, these people? I would just see pictures of the housing flooding. So it just seems so extreme. And I think we're all ready for spring. I don't know. I think spring, I put on the spring background, the beach, because we've been cold again here in New York. We were in the 70s last week, which was paradise. And now it's chilly again. So
we've got the warm weather for you. We planted our garden last weekend, was like, Okay, we should be good now. So we went ahead and planted our garden, and typical like Texan way, we have all the stuff to make salsa. So,
oh my gosh. Well, actually, okay. So I don't know if you know me very well, but we'll get to know each other. So I love food. And one of the things that I've always heard about is how amazing the food in Texas is. And I've never met anyone who said, no, that's not. They're all like, yeah, it is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So is it true?
Yeah, we're good. Like, especially like barbecue and like our Mexican, but like really in general, like we like our food and we cook with it. And that's one thing that my husband, I know I was telling you. So he's a truck driver,
right,
for everyone else who's listening. So he's all across the country and he'll be like, I want Mexican food. And he'll be like out and even in like California and stuff. And I'm like, well, just go ahead and like stop and get some, like you have some in your, we call it our blow money account. We'll probably talk about that in a minute.
Right.
And he's like, but it's not as good. So like, it's never worth it. Like
when I do that. I miss home. And one of the things, you know, when you watch TV and shows, are the chili contests or the chili cook-offs a thing?
Yeah, they are. Probably like one of the bigger things, this would be like barbecue type cook-offs. And then our state fair does this whole thing with like, it's really deep fried anything you can think of. And like the corn dogs there themselves are kind of legendary. It's kind of crazy, which is really ironic because I've lived in Texas my whole life, been to the state fair once, and I've never had a Fletcher's corn dog, which is the brand there. So it's like, oh, I feel like it's like wrong somehow that I haven't done that.
Your Texan card is going to be revoked. Yeah. Well, it's really funny. When I went to, you know, Florida and all the state parks and everything, I don't really normally eat corn dogs, but they had corn dog nuggets. And I don't know what it was the magic of, you know, Florida, but I would eat a corn dog in Texas. I wouldn't. So we'll have to plan a trip. So maybe we could do a Friday Night Feels in Texas next time. So one of the things, you know, and Amy, we'll get to this, is when we connect for Friday Night Feels, we usually start following each other in social media. And I just really love your posts. One of the things, you know, is you just seem really genuine and caring and, you know, keeping it real of you're a busy mom, you understand financial issues, and your whole business is to really help people. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what your money coaching business is.
Definitely. Okay. So I'm really happy to hear that, because that's always my goal. We can talk a little bit about my story if you want, but I kind of fell into personal finance, and then through a lot of personal experiences, several financial crises along the way, it kind of realized like, okay, this is my passion. And it started one way and I was like, no, but it really goes back to this. It really goes back to the money and what we were able to do. So what I do with the money confidence coaching is like, we're helping you. I help you to master your money is what we call it. So there's three different areas with your finances. We have the offense, which is making more money, either at a job, with a side hustle, all the things there. Defense, which is taking care of the money you've already got. And then the battlefield. And that's kind of money mindset, rules of the game. Probably the most important one, because it makes the biggest difference. And it's the one that we're least aware of, because most of our money mindset came from stuff that happened when we were 10 years old or younger in our childhood. So we feel like that's just the way things are. That's just the way I am. And we have these perceptions and we're walking into things and we don't even realize that there can be a different way out there, that things can actually change. So my job is I help equip you to be able to do these things for yourself. So you know how to handle things, to show up with confidence and feel like you can take care of your family when a crisis hits. That's what a lot of people have experienced with this last year, was like, crap, I'm not actually prepared like I thought I was. And being able, feeling that security that you can take care of your family when something happens, and having that cushion and the bank account, being able to do the things that you want. And always my big priority is spending time doing more of what you want to do and with those that you love. So for me, that's always spending more time with my family. We love to travel. I homeschool my kids, all those things. Like, that's being able to do more of what you want to do. So we create the systems in place to do that.
You know, and that just sounds so amazing. But the what I can imagine, and this is probably part of your process, is people think that that's unrealistic for them, that they have to work nose to the grindstone as much as they can, that what you're talking about is like for the elite, that it could never be for the common, you know, person. And it's really exciting to hear, this is a possibility for anyone, is what I feel like you're saying.
Definitely. There's always two extremes. And I feel like somebody, pretty much like 95% of the population, fits into one of these extremes. It's the, I've got this figured out, I don't need to do anything else. And that can never happen for me. But yeah, it's totally possible for you. We went from food stamps, WIC card. My middle son was on Social Security benefits called SSI. We've grown our net worth. It was $136,000. I just finished March's number, so I'm trying to do the math here. It should be about $142,000 now, grown our net worth. And there's so many different like mindset shifts that they're simple to make, and it's game changing when you do it. And it's just like that freeing feeling that helps make it feel possible for you.
Right. And you know, one of the things that you were saying with the different types of game plans is that with the third one, like the battlefields, is that, you know, I can think of myself of how many, you know, how many times in my life I've made financial mistakes and I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were, you know, really hard worker. They usually had two or three jobs our whole lives, you know, so hardworking, saving. But it, then all of a sudden you open your eyes and you're an adult and you have a credit card or you have this and, you know, you go to school and they say just sign the dotted line or, and then you're, it's just everything changes. I don't know if you see that with people that you work with of, it's sometimes it almost seems like it's an accident, the debt that people
yes. can accrue. We don't even realize we're doing it. And that's, there's, we talk about our association and being intentional with who we're listening to. And that's really part of like, cause I'll hear a lot of times, like, I don't want to have a budget. Like budget's a bad word for me. Don't mm-hmm. say that, like all of that stuff. And the problem with that is it's thinking about like what the purpose of a budget is, because the purpose of the budget is just to be intentional with your money and know where it's at. Because if you're not intentional with it, somebody else will be. Media and advertising is great. It does have a purpose though, and that's like to get your money. So if we don't have a budget and we don't do that, like that's kind of how things happen, is we get sucked down that trail. And it's not about not spending the money. It's about being aware of it and making that conscious decision, really truly being like the CEO of your life, making right. those decisions that you want to make.
You know, I love that you say that, because when I, years ago, I decided to go and reach out to a financial planner, and it was an awful experience, because, you know, basically I just felt what I was saying, that I wasn't important enough. I wasn't, you know, I was, you know, doing my own business. I was paying all the bills, but I didn't have a lot saved because, you know, grad school and everything. And so I felt stuck. And then I found another financial planner and she mentioned the B word. And I was like, oh God, a budget. Like I have to go through this humiliation again. And I was so amazed at how much shame came up of, someone, it was like someone was trying to see my personal diary, you know, and I never connected that to, wow, I didn't know I had all this emotion tied to finances.
And often what I see is we can grow up and have two totally separate like upbringings with the way that our parents approached money, but we can still end up with those same feeling. So you, one side, you can have like the hardworking family that was like, you did okay. Like money wasn't really tight. You can still draw like those money associations that like money and budgeting in itself, like if it's bad, it's going to be limiting. Like you don't want to do it. And like, it's truly, those are just the emotions. We have to learn to identify them and kind of step out of it and look at things objectively, because our subconscious mind's in control there. And like, just seeing like, okay, like for myself, it was kind of irrational. I it wasn't even like reality. Like, this is the crazy part for you. Like the thing that I kept going back to, we'll use a different one. So, like something that came up for me was like that nobody was listening to me. And I was like, okay, but like, why aren't people listening to me? And I would go back to this time that I remember getting in trouble when I was younger. Now, I was spanked as a child, but in this instant, like my parents were still married at the time. And I remember like getting in a fight with my dad. I was in trouble. And I remember like getting a really bad spanking. And I was asked, my mom was like, just trying to work through this. Like, okay, what the heck happened there? Like, what was actually going on? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, if that had actually happened, I would have been aware. So what we think happened is we got in a verbal disagreement and I internalized that and totally changed it to be something else. Wow. Wasn't even what actually happened, but I had carried that with me for, I don't know, 15 years or so, like creating this thing that didn't even actually happen, but it didn't matter because that was the way I had created it.
Right. So when you make that real.
Yeah. And when you make that possible and then you take that moment so you can like even just step back and look at it objectively, you can kind of laugh at the ridiculousness of it and then move forward, because we're not going to get rid of those emotions. It's just kind of becoming aware of them.
And I'm guessing you see that a lot, especially tied with money and finances, right?
Yeah. So especially when you've been in a position like financial crisis, this was another one that came up for us. So really quickly, my middle son, when he was born, pregnancy, everything went great, delivery, all of that. So a couple hours after he was born, the pediatrician came in to do their typical check on them. I had turned to face like to the side to eat because they had brought me my food. So they had taken him and he turned purple on the table there.
Oh my gosh.
So they ended up that they whisked him off to go to the NICU, do all their little tests and stuff. So they thought that he had just swallowed a bunch of amniotic fluid, which we were already kind of keeping an eye on because we had noticed he was spitting up a bunch. But when they tried to pass the tube to clear that out, like the tube wouldn't go through. So they did an x-ray and they found out he has what's called what's called esophageal atresia with the TEF fistula. So basically what that means is his esophagus wasn't connected to his stomach. So he was transported that night to the local children's hospital, had his first surgery at less than 48 hours old. He was in the NICU a total of 7.5 weeks. When we were discharged, he had what's called a G button. So all of his nutrition, everything went through a port in his stomach. He couldn't take anything by his mouth at the time. But before that, when I was 3 months pregnant, we had done everything with our finances and had made the decision like, okay, I can leave my job now. I was working in insurance. So protecting people's assets, they are already in the personal finance industry. Mm-hmm. Had a little side business, wasn't making a lot of income, but we were doing okay. So we decided to make that shift. So that was a Friday. And the following Monday, my husband, we were self-employed at the time, owned our own truck. And the gentleman that we were working with, that we were contracted with, was kind of a hothead. But basically what happened is he got mad and he decided to breach the contract, like ended it right there. Essentially, my husband was fired, even though that was against the contract. And like there were technically could be legal like replications for that. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to have the money to be able to do something.
Right.
It doesn't really
do anything. Your battles.
Yes. So we went into like no income overnight, right?
Oh my gosh.
3 months pregnant. It was kind of a little stressful. So there was a lot of hustle there within that week. And we ended up taking a 50% income cut. So like that was all leading up to before Wyatt was born and then everything that happened while he was in the NICU. And there was a lot of, even though we had done so much mm-hmm. work on our finances and we were moving forward, I still felt like I wasn't able to take care of my family because I hadn't hit that income level that I had wanted to within my business. Mm-hmm. So I find a lot of the people that I'm working with are doing the same thing. There was a time frame in the past that you were stuck. You weren't able to move forward. You felt like you weren't able to take care of your family, even mm-hmm. if it wasn't reality.
Right.
It was a tough time frame there. And then you keep going forward. And anytime that something remotely happens that feels like a setback in your mind, you immediately go back to that time frame. And it's like this almost an anxiety attack that you bring on and you don't want to move forward. Because that's what's happened again, and that's what's going to happen again. And we have to, again, separate the past from the present mm-hmm. and just kind of becoming aware of that. But that's probably one of the biggest things that I see is it's something in our past and we don't even realize it's what's holding us back.
Right. So when someone comes to work with you, what is that process like from start to finish? What does that typically look like for someone?
So my signature program is what I call Money Masters Inner Circle. So that is a group membership program. So within there, when you first get started, we have a 1-hour breakthrough session with me. And we kind of talk about things where you're at. So I can make my
signature program is what I call Money Masters.
A personalized recommendation, like on where you're actually at, because there's different videos in there. But that gives you access to the Q&As and all the core trainings and whatnot. So for some people, like that's enough. They just need that little bit of direction. But it's also really great to work one-on-one. So if you're part of Money Masters Inner Circle, then we can also work together one-on-one. And then we get on the phone, we get on Zoom, whatever, every couple weeks and like help work through the problems that are actually coming up. And we can do like, we can go through numbers, or if you're like, I don't want you to actually see my numbers, there's a lot of it's mindset work. So that kind of works too. It's kind of a hybrid depending on the specific client. But it's like getting that progress. And then ideally you kind of become a Money Masters Inner Circle person for life, because our finances are never done. Like, right, it's something we're continually growing
on. Right, right. Yeah, it's an investment.
Like, I need something. Oh, it's in my bag. Sorry.
That's okay. I love it. Yeah, because it's an investment, right? This is your life. You know, it's like wellness. It's part of your wellness. Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, you know, I love working with couples, but I have to say money and couples. Sometimes I've been, you know, couples can come in and talk about the worst things in the world. But you bring up finances. And it's like, oh, we don't talk about that, Patrick. Like, we'll just pretend you didn't just ask us about finance. Like, you're about to kill each other and we can't talk about I don't know if you've seen that. It's just, it's so fascinating to me.
And that's normally something we have to work through. I created a whole training like specific to that. Like, okay, like let's just kind of like work you in here. But there's a group of financial coaches that like I kind of network with, and we joke about like we're unofficial marriage counselors. Like, you just think you're a finance coach, but you're really a marriage counselor too. Like, we're doing all the things, but it definitely can be interesting. And I think there's a lot of resources that you can have in setting up systems to kind of help not have you be at each other's throats, because typically one's a spender and one's a saver. Mm-hmm. So that can cause like disharmony there. And then we all grew up differently. We're all human. So we saw our parents model communication one way. We've learned to communicate one way, and then we try to communicate with each other and it doesn't always work. So finding those systems to kind of help make it a little bit easier, I think makes a big difference, because we are human. It's never going to be perfect, but figuring out kind of like how to work together and give each other space when you need to is going to be a big deal.
And that's so powerful that you say that, because sometimes even the question that I've asked client or couples is, who taught you about finances? Mm-hmm. And even just having that discussion, they just kind of look at each other as like, well, no one, or this, or I just, all of a sudden I got a credit card, or my mom, you know, we were really poor, or we had money, you know, and like you said, there's usually the saver and then the spender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad, because they really both want the same thing. They just go about it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then that really adds to a lot of tension in the relationship. And it, you know, I see that it can, you know, decay the emotional connection over finances, unfortunately. Yep.
And that's why having, call it a money management system, that helps. Like, if you think the budget is a bad word, we're just going to call it something else. But there's a couple other things that we include in there, but it's also having almost like that third party accountability, because typically like for myself, I obviously do the finances in our relationship. So then it, like, when I'm having to say no, it feels like I'm saying no. But when we create that system, it's the system saying no instead of me having to say no. And like bringing that, it's almost like somebody else is the responsible one there, creating that system.
That's
there.
Delicious. I love that. Because then your husband's like, what?
It's, he can't system. Get mad at you.
It's a system. Oh, foiled again. That's awesome. And how do you, so what do you see as some of the biggest, like, if you could give some advice to people that might be listening or watching, like, what would you advise them? Or what are some tips that you could share with them that might help them, especially during this last year, which has been unprecedented for most of us?
Yeah. So the first one is, always kind of sounds ironic coming from somebody who talks about finances, but stop worrying about paying off debt. Like, stop focusing on paying off debt. It's not going to serve you long term. There's several different mindset things behind it. Even like when you just say the word debt, like, you can hear it. It's not a positive connotation. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to focus on the negative, especially coming from somebody. Another story, my husband ended up hospitalized, ambulance ride, and then hospitalized for 20 days. 16 of that was in the ICU.
Oh my gosh.
All without insurance. There was no help there because of some, we took him to the county hospital because we knew like he had just started at that job. So we were in between insurances, we lived in a different county. So it didn't matter. So six figures in debt, I can tell you debt is not a positive thing. And being able to focus on that. So instead of focusing on your debt, focus on your true financial picture, which is your net worth. because when you're going to pay off debt by default, because if you don't know real quick, your net worth is your assets minus your liabilities. So as you pay off your debt, your liabilities, that number is going to go up. You're going to see that net worth grow, but it's going to be something that you can focus on long-term. It's not just like pay off debt, pay off debt, pay off debt. Because a lot of that, again, with the budgeting, that's, there's several gurus out there that talk about like pinching pennies and living off of beans and rice and do whatever you can to get out of debt. And yeah, consumer debt isn't that great and we really shouldn't be in it, but this is about your health and enjoying the process. We have to live life, right? And if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it long-term. So if we focus on our net worth, that's the positive aspect, which is going to improve as well. You're going to be able to do that long-term. It's also statistically shown if you are successful in that debt payoff, like focus intense mode, within 5 years, like 75% of people are back into debt because when you focus and meditate on debt, I got to pay off the debt, got to pay off the debt. When you do, you're like, oh, I need to pay off debt. Like I don't have any debt. So let me go get into debt.
That's fascinating. Pay off.
So it's kind of crazy, but it's that simple switch, like just net worth versus debt payoff. And it makes a huge difference because then you're also able to save and you're seeing those numbers there and grow your investments, like all the thing, like it's truly where you're at.
Right.
So that's one of the biggest things that I swear I'm going to like talk about until I'm blue in the face, because even like, I remember the month that we made that switch that somebody had said like, well, this is what we do. And like, I hadn't dived in yet to like all of the different like mindset pieces behind it. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then I looked, I was like, holy cow, we made like a lot of improvement last month. And I didn't think we did. So makes a big difference. So that's probably like my first thing.
Wow. That's second big.
Thing, the second thing is finding a system that works for you. Not all systems are created equal, obviously, but finding something that works. I'm a huge advocate of percentage-based budgeting because it prevents what we call lifestyle creep. So that whole, if you've ever gotten a raise and you're like, if I could just make $500 a month more, I'd be set. We'd be able to do this. We'd be able to do this. And then you do it and you're like, where'd the money go? Like it's just gone. So that's your lifestyle creep. Like as the income goes up, like it just gets spent. So percentage-based budgeting, it doesn't matter what your income level is. You're still consistently having money to spend, what we call our play account, taking care of your necessities, saving, investing, paying off debt, all those things. It's all at the same time. And it can kind of be set up. Ours isn't on autopilot because our income varies, but it's like, I don't know, it takes me 5-10 minutes. You just plug the numbers into the system and like, okay, transfer this, do this, do this. It's done. So it doesn't matter. Like as you work and you continue to improve and you've increased your income, you're actually able to do more because we've like figured that out, but just finding something that works because it doesn't matter what the system is. If you're not going to do it,
right.
It's like, useless. It doesn't make any good. Like, just and find I think, something.
And I've seen that with friends and with people that I work with where even, you know, especially parents, you know, there's that, how do we save or how do we pay all this debt? But then how do our kids still get to do things like go to an amusement park, you know, go away for a weekend, you know, especially with COVID, you know, can we just go to a hotel for a weekend or go to a pool or, you know, it's maybe, you know, a little safer now or whatever it might be, but, oh, do we want to spend the money? And then they get into an argument over it. It's hard to, you still have to live.
Yeah.
And I think that fear, that scarcity of we're never going to have enough, we're never going to have enough, that panic takes over and you forget we're not doing this to not live. We're doing this to live.
Like we only have the one life to live. We're not shoving the kids in the closet. And that's really great because that kind of brings me to like my last thing that I wanted to say about that. So having what we call a play account is a portion of that. So within that play account, like that is designed for you to spend money because even if money is tight, like you need to be spending money on fun stuff because we need to create that positive money association. Again, we need to feel good about money and that relationship with money and realizing like the more money I have, the more fun stuff I'm going to be able to do, the bigger impact I'm going to be able to make, all of those things. We have to still spend money. So again, the marriage saver, we need to have a his money to blow and a her money to blow account. And that doesn't have to be a whole lot. And it's not variant on income. So like if one spouse makes more income than the other, that spouse, like it's equal there. I get more in my account because I have the three kids and they like to eat with me too.
God, they're so needy.
I know, right? I was like, you want to eat again? Like,
again? Hey. Gosh.
But having those accounts and you're able to go spend it on whatever you want, that's legal, moral, and ethical. I had to add that in there because I was like, I don't want people to be doing bad things.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So
as you see me in the corner with my corn dogs just shoving them in, but it's Texas. You have to eat the corn dogs. Reel it in, Patrick. Reel it in.
So, but that really helps with the whole spending and saving because it's your money to do whatever you want. And it needs to be like in a separate account. You can use cash. The only problem I've seen with cash is it's simple just to go pull out more cash when it's spent. So you can have multiple bank accounts. That's always something that we talk about. I have multiple savings accounts. That's another one. Your savings account should be at a separate bank than your primary account, but you can have multiple accounts. It's not going to be the end of the world. If you're a spender, remove overdraft protection though, so you don't go into the red.
Tricky.
Just having like those things set up, like making sure that you are spending money. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Like there's a ice cream custard shop around the corner. It's called Andy's. Do y'all have those?
God. I want to be there already. No, but it sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Oh, my God, it's really good.
My bills might be moving to Texas.
They got rid of the special, though, that I loved. It was called a cookie Casanova. So it had, like, chocolate. It's, like, vanilla custard with, like, a hot chocolate core. And it had chocolate, like, chip, like, yes, chocolate chip bites, like, mixed in. Yes. So they got rid of it. I was so devastated. But, like, even going to that and doing that once a month, it's not a whole lot. I think the five of us, it's probably, like, 20, 25, somewhere in there.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It's not, like, that bad at all. But we're able to do something fun there. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot. It's just going to do something fun together and creating those memories again. Yeah. Because, like you said, it's not – like shoving our kids in the corner, it's not going to work. Like we want to enjoy life, and it's not like even with your spouse, like it's not like, okay, I'm going to ignore my spouse because we got to do all this work. So that's part of what I talk about. It was like, we learned to do this without the pinching pennies, without working 80-hour work weeks. There's a lot of productivity and time management. People laugh, but I'm like, your health is involved in your finances, your productivity. I call them profit power-ups, but I'm like, there's like 7 or 8 areas that we talk about within this that they all affect your finances. And just moving forward in one of those, you're going to see returns as well.
Oh, wow. That's just so amazing. You know, it's funny when you talk about the ice cream, you know, like I was saying, I'm from a large family, so my parents were always working. But, you know, in summer, my dad would always bring home this giant thing. And I just remember of like the most amazing ice cream. And all of my siblings that I remember, it is just one of those things where it always just makes you smile. Mm-hmm. And it's like that, it's a family thing. And it was so simple. And my parents, even though they were working hard, they did those small things that meant so much to us, even now as adults that ice cream. I remember that. And we, you know, I'd always get in trouble because they'd find spoon marks in it. They blamed me, but I don't think it was me.
I don't know why, right?
I may have an issue with food, but anyway, I digress. But that's what you know, hurts when I see, you know, a couple struggling, and especially the savers, as we're calling them, because they're worried all the time, and then they're missing out on those moments of, hey, you're doing all this work. Look at your partner, look at your spouse, look at your kids. You're having fun, and this is what they're going to remember, not a giant trip or not this or not, you know, all of that. They're going to just remember that you were with them.
Mm-hmm. And celebrating what you have accomplished, especially those of us that do tend to be very driven and those kind of go-getters, like we can skip past that. And it's like, okay, well, just on to the next thing, on to the next thing. And you're not stopping to treasure where you're at. That's another thing we talk about. I'm like, okay, I want you to tell me 5 things that you accomplished every day. It doesn't have to be something big, but like we need to celebrate what you've done and the growth that you've already had. And I think stopping to kind of pause and really live in the present really helps with that, because you you're truly involved. Like, it's not stressing about the past that we can't control, and it's not pushing forward like into the future, just focusing on like what's going to happen, and again stressing about what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but like just staying present in the present to be able to be with your loved ones. And that was something that I really worked on last year, and it was kind of crazy. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, I know this, but it was like, okay, well, let's just stop and be present in the moment. Like, there's only so much other stuff we can do right now, right?
Right.
And it's totally been like game changing. And we had like some crazy stuff come up, and I was like, wow, I handled that like totally different. And it's only in retrospect sometimes right. that you can see the growth that you've had. So yes. Yeah, celebrating what you've done.
Well, and also I think that ties into one of the things too, that we both must see is, as a parent, that anxiety and that stress that's always in the back of your mind of how do I make sure my kids, my partner have security and safety?
Mm-hmm.
And I just see that almost become overwhelming, consuming for a lot of people of, you know, how do I make sure that my kids and my family are safe and stable?
Yeah.
And then that consumes them, and which then leads to problem and discord in the relationship, right?
Yep.
Now, one of the things, as you were talking, is, you know, you mentioned being a mom and your kids. How do you teach your kids this? Like, a lot of people who listen and tune into Friday Night Feels are parents, and they have mm-hmm. either college students as you know, kids, teenagers, or even, you know, preteen. So what kind of advice, or what would you guide them on how to improve their education for their children?
There's that's actually something I'm working on. It's in like the game thing for the next 5 years. Like,
see, we're connected.
Yeah, to create like that. And it's funny because I've had several people ask me about it. I'm like, okay, maybe I need to get a move on this. We would make it homeschool credited for all the other homeschoolers out there.
We're gonna have to talk about that in a minute too, because I want to go back to that. Sorry, but go
ahead. Yeah. So right now, really what we talk about is kind of just modeling for everybody else. So my oldest is 9. So they're 9, 4, and 2. So the 2-year-old doesn't really get it, but there's a lot of just being mindful on what we're saying to our kids. So using like the, we can't afford it, or that's not this, like, it's not that positive language. Again, fighting with our spouse in front of the kids, like, that's something if it's going to happen, you're going to fight, like, just mm-hmm. do it away from the kids, and helping to try and help nurture them and their mindset, and being mindful in how we're saying something. So instead of saying like, we can't afford it, it could be like that it's not a priority right now, and incorporating the kids like in the financial goal setting. So if you're saving for a vacation right now, you can just kind of remind them like, okay, look, like, this is what we're working towards. So for us, we want to buy a new house. So like when they ask for stuff, we do a lot of experiences instead of like the stuff. We can get to that in a minute if you want, but when they ask for that, it's like, okay, well, remember right now we're working to buy the house. So we're putting more money towards buying a new house instead of this, and kind of showing them why, instead of just saying like, no, we can't afford it, because then it creates that negative money association. But the JAR system is from T. Harv Eker, is the one that created that. And that's kind of where my percentage-based budgeting, that's where the roots are for that. So basically, like, they have percentage-based budgeting as well. We personally don't do an allowance, but they can earn money, because we want them to see the value for working for money, so they can do extra things. We can do like reading books and extra chores and stuff. But just kind of modeling it and showing them like, okay, this is what things are. And this is how we do it. And they have long-term savings accounts. They have short-term savings accounts. They have money to spend. They give 10% as well. And they're able to do all those things and set it up. I do something we call Wealth Wednesday, which comes from the Higdon Group, and Ray Higdon are the ones that talked about this. But basically, you're doing a random act of kindness for a stranger involving a financial exchange. So
that's amazing.
I love it. So, you know, like the paying for the person behind you in the drive-thru or in the toll booth. One of my favorites is slipping like some money in the diaper box, because diapers are expensive. I can attest to that. So when the parents open the diaper box, like, it's just that money there, and giving in that way, again, creates that positive money association. Like, I can give, and then I know I'm going to receive more, like, letting go of it, which is really big for those of us who are the savers. Like, being able to release the money and know it'll come back to you, but really just kind of modeling that. And then I think with teenagers, I haven't gotten there yet. Obviously my brother is, he's not a teenager anymore. I mean, he still feels like a teenager, but he's not a teenager anymore.
Right.
But I definitely see like, there's some of that, like where there's only so much, like you can kind of teach them and they're still like not listening. It's like, right. There was something that happened with insurance the other day. And it was like, seriously, like you're not going to listen to me or mom. Like I've done this and like, she's your senior. And like, seriously, like really, but just kind of modeling them and having that conversation. I know credit cards like get thrown out everywhere and they can be great. Unfortunately, we do have to have credit in the world that we live in, but really truly creating like healthy habits with it. And I think the earlier that you start having that conversation and being open and talking about like money and the way it works, and this is what we do with it, and this is what it is, it's not as like a surprise when you hit like that 18 number, and then all of a sudden they send you like 50,000 credit card applications. Right.
Yeah. Or I mean, every store now offers you a credit card. Like I'm getting a pack of gum. No, I don't need a credit card. I'm getting a tea. No, I don't need a credit card. But when they're good marketers, oh, did you know you can save 25%? I'm like, oh, and I stop. I'm like, no, no, I don't need, they're good. They're good. Do you mind if I ask you your opinion on good credit? Because that's a question, you know, people will say, all right, well, I need credit, but I don't know how to get credit. I don't want a credit card, but I want to be able to buy a car or a house one day. So how do I get credit if I don't have any, or recovering from bad credit?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, unfortunately, we do have to have credit. I think it would be great to pay cash for cars and be great to pay cash for houses. And even if you are able to do that, your credit score does affect things like your insurance. Again, they're not pulling your credit score, but they can kind of, I'm guessing it's a soft pull. I never understood exactly what they did. So if you don't have a good credit score, like you're paying more for those type of things too, like your insurance. So, starting out with teenagers, I think a secured credit card, it would be a great place to start. And if you're somebody trying to rebuild as well, having that secured credit card, but we really have to make sure that we have the discipline to use it smart. So we do use a credit card for what I call our varied necessities. So that's going to be like our groceries, Amazon purchases, and like household type stuff. But I pay it off like on a weekly basis. So we're using that, we're having that involved, and that's there. So we're utilizing credit, but just kind of being smart about it. You've got to have those balances on yourself. If you know that you're going to spend too much, then maybe just wait. Yes, credit is important, but we need to be able to be smart about it and not digging ourselves into a bigger hole, which is actually statistically what happens with lottery winners. Cause they're like, oh, let me get like this great amount of money. And then within 5 years, they're in a worse situation because they had gotten the more money with all of that. And then you can get more credit with that. And we hadn't changed the habit. So if you know that this has been a problem in the past, I probably would just wait. Like, it's, you can build good credit quickly. And there are places that work with you now because the credit system is so like messed up and so now, difficult to actually get credit.
So are credit cards the only way to build credit? That was basically my understanding. And I don't know if I'm way off.
There, it's probably one of the easiest ways.
Okay.
Like I know for a long time, I could never be on a car note and I could never figure out why. Like they just couldn't approve me for a car note. Like I'm like, I paid on time. We do all of this, like debt to income was fine. Like it was just kind of dumb. So credit cards, I know like that somebody, everyone can get access to that to work on your credit. And again, I think it's under 10% credit utilization is what's optimized for your credit score.
Okay.
But if you can get like somebody to co-sign with you that you have those installment histories, that's going to help because it's a different type of loan. So it's kind of building out your credit portfolio there. I normally refer people out that want to work on their credit, like truly work on it, to like one of the referrals that I have, like a credit specialist. It's just kind of like keeping an idea of like, okay, we need to have these type of varieties. You can do things like we financed something. I don't remember what it was. This was a washer and dryer through like Conn's one time. And that was a regular installment payment. So that does show up as like you've paid an installment loan before.
Okay.
But if you have credit cards and like you pay them off, the longer you've had access to the same credit account, like the better that it looks, like the longevity of how long your credit history has been available. Mm-hmm. So don't like close those. So like one of the credit cards that you got, like when you were 18 or whatever, right. If you still have that, like, even if it's a low credit limit, like just kind of make sure that you keep it active. I think you have to use it once a year at least or something, like put something on it and then pay it off again so that it will show like how long you've had credit history will be expanding okay. for you.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. And then what would you recommend, for example, if someone had like one or two credit cards and, you know, should they ever ask for their credit limit to be extended?
Yeah. Because the more credit that you have available to you, like you don't have to utilize all of it, right. But it just shows less on your debt to income ratio. So it's going to look better for you.
Wow. That's so interesting.
But be careful with your inquiries because you don't want to have too many inquiries in 12 months. You can get a free credit report once a year. I think it's annualcreditreport.com, but like, don't go apply for a bunch of stuff because then it'll be like you've had 6 inquiries on your credit
and then it lowers your credit, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that I know that's hard because that's one thing that people don't know. And then you see all these commercials of check this for your a free credit rating. I'm like, that doesn't sound accurate to me.
Some of them, like, they do it, but it's not like a true credit rating. Like Credit Karma isn't your true credit score. It can be close, but like sometimes it's higher and sometimes it's lower than like your actual true credit score. So some of those places like can kind of do it, but it's not always accurate because it's the free system. I don't know how they calculate that.
Right. And the other thing that I was thinking about too are people who don't even know, kind of going back to what we started with tonight, is they don't even know they can have financial security. And I've worked with a lot of adults where when I ask them, you know, what is your retirement plan or what do you have for that? Or what do you, you know, for savings? And they don't even think about that. It's really just day to day. So the idea of even saving for the future, they don't think they'll ever be able to retire.
Yeah, there was a study done, I think it's probably about 6 years ago now, that the majority of people, their retirement plan was to win the lottery, win a lawsuit, or inherit a bunch of money. So oh. I don't know what that says about people as a population if we want to win a lawsuit. Like, that's kind of concerning to me.
Right. Right. And that we would need a lawsuit. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest obstacles that you see with people that you work with?
I think getting out of our own way, really okay. realizing like that there can be more and maybe we don't know it all. Like it sounds kind of silly, but you know, have you heard the whole like, you don't know what you don't know and yes. some of what you yes. know isn't so. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's like a reality there. So we have the conversations and just know like there can be more out there that we just don't even realize it. It can be so close. Just having that open mind and being willing to take those steps, I think is really game changing. And understanding the fact that money doesn't have to be taboo. There's a big stigma around that. Like we don't talk about money. Like it's just we don't do that. Like, I don't want to show anybody what I made. And like I said, there's ways around that too, but like knowing it's okay to ask for help. I was listening to a training a while back and apparently like this is an American thing. So like in Asia and Europe, like it is totally normal to have a total like team around you. You have somebody come take care of the house, the meal planning, like they run your errands for you, like having that support system and truly like being a CEO in your own life there. Like that's normal. And for us, like asking for help can be a bad thing. Like that's kind of the stigma we created.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the shame. So it's okay. Like there's no judgment here. Like we've all made mistakes. We've all done dumb stuff. Like it's just about moving forward and truly realizing that like there are people out there that truly want to help you move forward and be willing to ask for the help.
Yeah, I think that's so fascinating. People who the shame, I see that. And I'm not stereotyping, but I see it a lot with men that, oh, I don't need anyone telling me how to spend my money. I work hard or like something's wrong with them because they may not know. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to be tough and strong and needing help or not admitting we don't know something means that we're weak or vulnerable, and it means that we're less than. And I think that's a huge deficit. I think it really hurts us as people to know, you know, we're not meant to be islands. We're meant to like have connections and have supports, and, you know, being able to reach out to people like yourselves of saying, hey, this is something that I really, like, I love what you were saying of, this is part of my wellness. Because stress over finances, you know, how many people, you know, if we look through history of, you know, the Great Depression and how many people, you know, took their lives because they lost their livelihoods and everything. And it was just, it was, it's such a tragedy over money.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what it was ever made for.
No.
I remember this one episode of a Disney era, a cartoon. I don't remember what one it was. And it just like how money became a conversation of that, and anywhere they went, there was something that was marketable, and how it didn't bring them happiness, but because they put so much wealth on it or so much importance on it.
And then it really goes back to like how we perceive things. And I don't think that anybody set out like with the intention, like, okay, let's like screw up everybody, but it happens because we're human, and like really understanding that, like, it's okay. Like we're all like that. Like, it happens to everybody. It's like, just move forward. It's all right.
Right. And one of the things too, and maybe this kind of ties into what your model is when people are trying to earn a little extra money, I try to encourage them in the counseling world of find maybe something that is fun and that you enjoy. Like, you know, we have a million different opportunities out there, but, you know, being able to find a hobby that maybe you can make a little extra money. For example, I know some people who are amazingly creative and artistic, and you know, I know, like they can have a pen, and then all of a sudden it's like a painting. I don't even know how they do it. It's magic, and I'm like, why don't you like sell this? They're like, oh, no one. I said, no one will buy this. I said, people will buy this because it's amazing.
And you don't know until you try.
Right. And they devalue themselves in that, that doubt. But then when you can see it of, you know, put it on one of these websites or put it on a social media thing and just try. A lot of the platforms are free. I have just some friends who are incredibly talented, and, you know, I'm like, make a little extra money so you can breathe easier. You know, I wish I had that talent.
Yep. And it's definitely about that, like finding what you enjoy and then like, okay, how is this like monetizable? Like there's all talents that we all have, and it's all things that we enjoy. And there's so many different ways to do things now in the world that we live in, and to actually make some income, you should enjoy it. Yeah. I definitely don't recommend delivering newspapers. So like, if you're in a pinch, that's a lot of work for not a lot of money.
And you have to get up at super, and I'm not an early, early morning person.
I didn't have to do, like, that one wasn't one like that it had to be delivered like early in the morning. But I swear I worked for like an entire weekend for like $100. It was not worth it.
Since I was the youngest, my brothers had paper routes. Mm-hmm. So if they weren't there, I had to get up and do it. So a few times I thought, I will never do this. Yeah, I remember when I was little, I was talking to someone about this the other day. I love that entrepreneurial energy. I love projects and different things like that. And every year I would be so excited. I would do lemonade sales. I would do Kool-Aid. There was one time I may have been watching something magical where I did fortune telling. And I remember this one time, this woman was so sweet, and she paid like 25 cents. And she's like, what is your fortune? I'm like, I don't see anything. And my mom's like, Patrick, she just paid for a fortune. Make something up. I don't know. So I learned some poor business. I was like, I didn't really get the whole concept of customer service at that point. But I did, you know, in one of my neighbors, it's so fun to work on things myself as an adult. But there, I have a neighbor of mine. And, you know, last summer, I think they had done a lemonade sale. Stand, and it was just so cute to see them as a family, and to see that, and it was really one of the best lemonade I've ever had in my life. So every time I see them, I'm like, when's the stand opening up? Like, let's go. But it's that family dynamic of just they were doing it together and they were making the recipe together and it was a family recipe, and then being able to make a little extra money and put that money towards something that the kids wanted.
Yeah.
It was just, it was really neat. I loved it. It was that whole picture, kind of what sounds like you are dedicating your life and your career to, of helping people get there.
Yeah. And realizing, like, and again, going back to like training the next generation as well, because they're doing that there with like helping teaching the kids like how to hustle, and this is how it works, and this is what we do with our money, and this is how you earn it. Like, it's not just this magic thing that grows on trees necessarily.
Right. I also think, I mean, if I could give you a platform for the universities and the colleges to help students who I think sometimes don't even know what they're getting into with student debt, or they'll just take more and more out and they don't even know. And yeah. I know in the last few years, student debt has become such a hot topic and so controversial of, man, you know, getting that education and having to be in debt in order to get it.
And I think a lot of that comes from that whole go to school, get a good job, like get a good paying job, and like you're going to be set for life. A lot of that came and was from like the industrial age, and we're not in the industrial age anymore, but that's still what we're teaching. So yes, there are some people that need to go to school and do that, but there's also not everybody needs to do that. It really depends on what you're going to do in life. And if we're just like conveyor belting everybody into the college system and they're like, I don't know what to do with my life, so let me just go take some college courses, that's not necessarily the best way to go figure it out. Like, let's go figure it out without the college courses. You can always go back.
And I think I see so much fear in parents of, if they don't go to school, they never will. Or if they don't get that degree, they'll be like me, or they won't, you know, instead of having that open-ended conversation of, these are your options. This is going to be your life. How can we best support you in this?
Yeah.
And really eliminating that. I think that, I don't want to say abusive, but that restrictive cycle of shame and anxiety and panic of, oh my gosh, if you don't have this, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of no, I mean, I know people who never went to school and they're more successful than people who do, and vice versa. You know,
there's a lot of millionaires that like never went to college too. Right. Like it really depends. I mean, like, if you're going to be a heart surgeon, yes, please go to school. Like,
yes, please. I just want to see the diploma. Like, I, you know, other things, not so much. But yeah, the doctors, maybe an attorney, just to know that it's not like
it's not made up. There's a lot you can read online, but like, pass the exam for me.
Right. So Amy, could you share with us how people could get a hold of you? Because I just loved talking to you tonight. I could talk to you all night. I love learning about this stuff, because like you said, I feel that there is so much I can always learn. How can people connect with you after tonight?
Yeah. So my favorite place to hang out is on Instagram. So I'm at Amy Cerca, AimeeCerka. You should be able to see it, but I think I'm the only one. Hopefully.
Yes. Well, it was easy to find you. And okay, if I can find you.
I really need to update my profile picture, but I promise it's still me.
And for people who were listening or watching, I'll definitely put it in, you know, post it as well, so people can find you and they'll see your name on Instagram, and then they can just reach out to you and see, and you do different programs and then I can also send people your way if that works for you.
You can always check out my website, which is amycerka.com. It's got a lot of the information on there, but I love talking. So just shoot me a message on Instagram, say hi, let me know where you heard me at, where you heard about me. And yeah, we can always have a conversation there and chat about what the options are.
All right. That would be awesome. Amy, thank you so much for coming on Friday Night Feels. I hope you come back in the future. I hope you had fun tonight. And I hope that everyone, you know, was able to take something away from it, because this was so amazing. So I really appreciate you being a busy mom, a busy wife, a busy businesswoman, and being able to come and spend some time with us. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. And for everyone else, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Hopefully wherever you are, it's getting warm and the sun. So just stay safe and have a great weekend. Take care, everyone.